a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order.
A new world order.
The
government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Touch Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings. Hello, and welcome to the Dutch Jones Show. It is May, what is it, the 27th today? May 27th, 2010. This is a live program coming to you on U Broadcast via DutchJones.tk. I don't see anything in the... Do you have any pictures up or anything, Lou?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. I'm not seeing anything. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here for 2 hours and 1 hour for our second hour. Sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? Here we go. Let me get to stop this here. I'm going to get feedback. On Liberty Tree Radio every day but Tuesday. And we're coming to you live from... Wow, the kind of cloudy and gloomy day here in Cahuilla, California, in Central California. It's a little hard to find on a map, but we do exist. And we have good news. Those of you that have been following along, the federal government was trying to shut down our post office, which I think was an attack on the fact that so many patriots up here use it. We saw a sign today in front of the post office that we won, and they're going to keep the post office open up here that was built in 1880. And is the longest-running post office in America. So we still exist. We still have a zip code. They're trying to erase the whole just presence of the town. They're going to absorb us into either the county or the next town over on the other side of the river. We have a unique identity, and it was just another evil plan by the Federal Stooges, and we won. When I say we, I mean I really actually didn't do anything other than make a few phone calls and whip off an email, but they got all the school kids at elementary school. As Lewis said, to write death threats to the Postmaster General, which I don't think they really, you know, were death threats, but they wrote a bunch of emails and cards and letters and made posters, sent pictures to the Postmaster General, wherever that person is, and said, "Don't close our post office. We need it. It's a piece of history, or I'll stab you in the eye with my Crayolas."
That's 6-year-old Jimmy.
That's what. That's actually from little Timmy Faye. But it's just another example of how local communities can fight back and get it. They said our post office wasn't making any money, but yet they were limiting the amount of stamps and the things that people could sell. So what I think happened is it is now going to be privately operated by some vendor, and that, you know, maybe they'll sell T-shirts and soda pops and all kinds of stuff there. You know. Bathroom mats?
No, put a bathroom there.
Yeah, they don't have a bathroom. That's how old this post office is. It looks like two outhouses put together. I was hoping we could get pictures up today, but Lou failed to work on it. But we need to go get a picture of the Cahuilla post office. We'll do it for tomorrow's show. I'll make sure Lou figures out a way to do it, and we'll get it up. You got to see this post office. People come from around the world to take photos of it, to get their postage stamped here. So that it says from Cahuilla. I've even seen a few weddings occur. It's on a curve, a little turnout. It's got a little tiny green area next to it where they have some, you know, donated chairs and tables and things. And tell him he's got to reset because we're still going. That's kind of weird. But we are proud of our little post office. Funny thing is, it was started by Marxists. Back in the 1880s, this was an experimental village, a commonwealth, actually, of Marxists from all over the world that came here to Cahuilla, California. They were the ones that built the first roads by hand. They printed their own currency based on 15 minutes of labor. There are several little town sites here where the different groups lived. There's one big town site for Cahuilla, which is actually on the other side of the river that we're here, on the North Fork River. And when they first got here, like those of you that know, the oldest living thing in America is the General, is the Grant Tree? I think it's the General Grant Tree. It was actually called the Karl Marx Tree. when they originally got up there and they changed it.
What about
and
General Lee Tree?
There needs to be a General Lee Tree. We should rename it.
In
but
like South or something.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the South. You don't have to whisper. The microphone's on. It's going to hear everything you say anyway, so just speak in a normal voice. So we want a victory. And I'm constantly telling people, I don't get involved other than mocking them, national politics. I like acting locally. I think globally and act locally. I'm stealing that from a hippie bumper sticker I saw. It's like another one I saw. It's like commit random acts of kindness.
War is not the answer.
Yeah, war is not the answer unless...
The answer is, what is not the answer?
What? Yeah, it's like, what? What is it? You had a funny little thing with that, Lou. What was it? War is not the answer unless, of course, the question is... What is war or something? I can't remember what it was. But bumper stickers to live by. But so that's a good thing for us here. And I want to if any of you send emails, I asked people to do that about 2 or 3 weeks ago when we found out about this impending doom. We've already had enough problems. People tell us we don't exist. I call the cable company, give them the zip code and the address. We can't find that in our system. They've, ever since probably the 1970s, they've tried to say we don't exist. And then when the poor census people came through here, whoo, we gave them a run for their money. All we did is just tell them, you know, we tell them how many people were in a dwelling, and that was it. And so they complained about us then, so maybe they're punishing us. I think that was a direct punishment for not cooperating with the census folks. They said, okay, fine, you don't want to tell us how many times a day you have a bowel movement.
Do pets count?
Yeah, we're not going to tell you how many. You're not going to tell us how many pets you have, or the last time you got mental health counseling. We're going to take away your post office. The person who's taking it over works for the local newspaper, I'm told, and the newspaper is not a friend to us. We tolerate each other because we operate the radio station; they operate the paper, and they're both called to, you know, kind of both called to do the same mission. But he is definitely a hippie and a left wing guy. So I'm assuming this employee who works for him, who's going to be taking over the post office, will also be. So we will no longer have somebody in there who's sympathetic to us. But, you know, I guess it's better than not having anything, and it's better than not having access, because we would have to drive 40 miles to get our mail. They won't do the mailboxes end about a mile from here, and they don't want to put post office or mailboxes up here. I don't know. It's just weird that they want to cut us off, those of us that live at the end of the road, that have certain political views and certain philosophical viewpoints that are counter. To everything else in this state. So it's just another act. Boy, a bunch of people just disappeared. That was, oh, now they're back in. That was kind of weird.
They disappeared.
Yeah, a couple people flashed off. Oh, there they are. Okay, there we go.
Give
but,
me a headache.
Yeah, but I'm just real happy that we get to keep our post office. Oh, the sun's coming out. It must be underneath the cloud cover. We're getting this nice golden hue on the... Okay, we're back. We're back. Sorry about that dropout. I'm sure it was Lou's fault. He probably... his sippy cup probably tipped on there. I keep getting attacks from this site on my firewall. Maybe someone is attempting to hack your site. I don't know, Min Patriot. We've had people attack before, but... We've got all new equipment and new passwords and everything, so I don't know. So I don't know why. Firewalls are always a problem when it comes to broadcasting.
It's a problem to everything.
Yeah, firewalls are a problem to everything.
You want to get on the internet. You want other programs access to the internet.
You've always,
firewall is terrible.
It's stupid. I mean, I don't understand it all, but it's just like, I don't know. It's like putting a restrictor plate on a race car, setting up your firewall. It doesn't let you do all this stuff. It selectively denies access to certain things. So you guys in there, let me know when you can hear me again. Lou says we're streaming, but we want to make sure that we're still getting out before start the main part of the show here. So Lou, make sure that they are checking stuff out there. And let me know when they can hear me. Please just type in the chat room, "We hear you, Dutch." Or, you know, give me a 5x5 or something for the signal there. And I'll begin the show because I got some new stuff. Okay. Yes, I can hear you. Okay, Men Patriots got me. This is a weird thing. I'm no fan of Sarah Palin. Not by a long shot, but some liberal media, unauthorized autobiographer, dweeby guy, has moved right next to her in her Alaskan home. I always thought she lived out in the middle of nowhere, like on one of the Aleutian Islands, but she lives in a upscale subdivision around a lake. Well, this guy rented the house right next to her. It's funny. I didn't know they did this in Alaska. It looks like a it looks exactly like a housing development. And this person moved in next door. So her husband, Todd, went out and built like a double-high fence so that this guy couldn't watch him because he just sits out there and watches him and writes about him. Man, what is going on here? And the little news report that went along with the story was funny because, you know, the reporter that was for, I think it was AP News or something, CBS News, he went to this guy's house to knock on the door, and he goes, "You're violating my privacy. Get off my lawn. You're violating." He's sitting there trying to eavesdrop and pry into Sarah Palin's life, which, like I said, I don't have any love loss over her one way or the other. But typical media. He's like, "Don't violate my privacy rights while I'm violating another person's privacy rights." And then the next day he put up a bunch of no trespassing signs to keep the media off of him. So it's just another example of do as I say, not as I do from the leftist media.
We'll trespass on another person's lawn to get to his lawn.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it'd be funny if people out there just started following this guy around and taking pictures of him every 20 minutes. You know, and of course Sarah Palin's concerned that, you know, they got, I think, does she have a teenage daughter or children?
I don't know.
So I know one of her little girls isn't all that good because she had a child out of wedlock, but she's worried about security and safety for her kids. And if I had some guy doing that, I'd just get out one of Lou's blowguns and keep shooting the guy in the face every time I saw it.
Well,
I go, "Oh, sorry." Yeah, I get one of the big 6-foot-long blowguns, but that'd probably kill him. I'd get yours because it's not as put some curare on the dart and just let him have it. But it's weird to think Alaska. And they, a lady who supposedly is well off as she is, and she lives like in this McMansion subdivision. And it's funny because the picture that I was looking at, you can literally jump from her roof to the other guy's roof. Not now because Todd Palin put up a wall. And, you know, the guy's standing out there looking at it. It's kind of weird. Did you see, also, speaking of walls, in front of the White House today, actually for a while now, there's some construction going on right in front of it, and all the stand-ups that the news people do, you can't. They're having a miserable time because there's construction going on. They say it's scheduled remodeling. I think they're putting in a bunker or another escape tube for the evil emperor.
Underground
escape pod that'll take him to Hades where he belongs. But it's strange that they're doing all this stuff in front of, you know, the people's house. You know, we own it, but yet they're doing all this stuff, and it just looks terrible. They got a big fence up there, and it doesn't look too good at all. Keep an eye on the sending so I know if I'm sending, Lou. I don't want to waste my time talking to nobody. Mexico, guess what? Mexico says, "Hey, we're tentatively okay." Oh, no, I'm sorry. It'd be like this. "We're okay, kind of, with the guys putting the troops on the border. You know, as long as it doesn't interfere with our drug trade, our slave trade, our sex trade, our illegal immigrant trade, or tourism, you know, but as long as that is okay." Now, of all places, Ottawa, "Mexico does not object to U.S. plan to station troops along the border between the two nations as long as soldiers do not arrest Mexicans trying to get into the United States." Okay, now, I'm going to read that to you again. "Mexico does not object to U.S. plans to station troops along the border between the two nations as long as the soldiers do not arrest Mexicans trying to get into the United States." So it's like, go ahead, put the soldiers on the border, but they can't do anything. They can't stop no one from coming in. U.S. President Barack Obama, reacting to drug violence in northern Mexico, finally, yeah, right, said on Tuesday he would send 1,200 more National Guard troops and ask for $500 million to go along most of the 2,000-mile U.S. border. I said 3,000 the other day. For some reason, I had 3,000 stuck in my head. It just seemed that way when I walked it. It seemed like 3,000 miles. No, but it's only 2,000 miles. That's still not a good density. Oh, there goes the pastor. Hi, pastor.
He can't see.
I know he can't see me, but it's nice to wave at him when he goes by in his truck, Lou. You should always wave at the pastor. Hey, Pastor. Calderon, the evil empire leader of Mexico, said that until now, Washington had not properly addressed the need to stop what he called the trafficking of weapons and money into Mexico. Again, they're blaming you and me. Because all us big, bad, evil North Americanos, the gringos, thank you. The gringos keep bringing the guns down here and trading them for drugs. It's not our fault, man. Why are you doing this? Why are you saying it's our fault? Would you like some cocaine with that? They have a commitment to uphold the law on the American side and not to use the National Guard for immigration purposes or to deal with immigration issues, Calderon said in an interview in Ottawa after talks to the Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, I guess it would be. Now, how dare this tin horn emperor, El Presidente Calderon, tell us that we can put troops on our border, but they're not allowed to do anything. It's ridiculoso. Well, there's something backing down the road. I hear it beeping, and I see a lot of stuff moving. What is that? I don't know if you guys can hear it, but there's something down on the main road beeping as it backs up in front of the church. It's sad up here. I love the trees. They're beautiful. They're in full bloom and greenery right now, but it really blocks my view of some of the buildings. Lou, go cut down that tree. We cut down one tree today. What's the nerve of these people? Why is it other countries think they can absolutely tell it? I don't know what that is. It's a big roll-off container truck. He's backing down the road. He probably went too far and realized there's no turnout up there. It's one of those roll-off construction containers. I think it's for the house across the street they're going to demolish. It's too bad we didn't have time today. They're tearing the house down across the street, and they told us we could salvage what we wanted in there.
Lou weed-eated there
and did some work over there. You got paid to weed eat over there.
It's my money.
It's your money, Lou. You're gonna spend it on what? You're gonna buy more tactical knives? You're gonna get some tactical underoos? Some ninja underpants?
Did you know I'm the head of the Tactical Urban Response Division?
Tactical Urban Response Division. That spells turd, Lou. Thanks for making me say that on the air. I get sick of these little guys who think that they are team or they're major league players on the world stage, telling us, yeah, you can put troops on your border, but they better not do anything. You know, they're already raping our economy. They're already invading our school systems. They're killing our people. What else can he do? I mean, he's got no more where to go to make a threat like this. Oh, you better not be using them for law enforcement or what? You're going to kill our cops? Oh, wait, you're already doing that. You're going to kill our ranchers? Oh, wait, you're already doing that. You're going to flood our neighborhoods with drugs? Oh, wait, you're already doing that. You're going to let your people come over here and kill pregnant women while you're hijacking them from their car? Oh, wait, that's already happened. You're going to overpower our school system so that everybody has to speak Spanish? You're going to go to the streets and demand civil payments from our welfare? Oh, wait. You got nowhere to go, Calderon. You've already destroyed half of our inner cities, especially along the border. This guy is not a good poker player. Not a good poker player at all. The U.S. ambassador to Mexico said on Wednesday that the extra troops would be working in back offices, helping intelligence officials process information and posted as lookouts between ports of entry. You know what they're going to do with them? They're going to treat them like the new kids on the block, like when we get a new guy in the MP battalion. He had to go and get all the coffee. No, not a bar of soap party. That's if you screw up, Lou. I'm going to have to show you what a blanket party looks like, Lou.
I already know what that is.
Yeah, well, I think your mom and I need to give you a blanket party with bars of soap and socks. Maybe that'll straighten you out. Now you see, you made me lose my... They're going to use them to go get donuts and coffee. They're going to make them fill out forms. They may even allow them to process the... I can't say prisoners. The illegal entrance, the unauthorized invaders, that's what they are. They're not illegal aliens. Undocumented Democrats. It's a joke. We're not getting anything out of this. Barack Obama's just doing this so that he can say, hey, look what I did.
I'm disconnected from the chat room.
Me too.
But it says we're still...
Are we still transmitting?
Let me try to load up the internet page.
No, don't do that. Because it might kick us off, Lou. It says I'm disconnected too, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get out of it. Let me get out of it and see what it does for you. So I'm not even going to be in the room. That might be why we're having...
I can't be in the room either.
Okay, so if you're not, we can't even see it. Open up dutchjones.tk. Don't stop the stream. Just open up dutchjones.tk. And are you still on, are you going out on microphone, or are you going out on, did you switch it to microphone, or are you still on sound card? Okay. All the perils of internet broadcasting. I just assume you guys can hear me. I'm going to keep going. It showed that we were still broadcasting?
Yeah.
But the chat room shut down?
Yeah.
That's some weird stuff going on right there. But yeah, the nerve of Mexico telling us, yeah, you can put troops on your border. Look, just Google Mexico's border policies and look what they're doing down there. Ooh. 7.2 earthquake hit South Pacific nation of Vanuatu. Vanuatu. That's a pretty bad earthquake. I'm not sure where that is from. Of course, now my stuff's jumping around. Well, and Barack today answered questions comparing his oil leak at British Petroleum to Katrina, saying, "Oh no, no, we've been on top of this since the beginning." And for those of you that don't know, they've temporarily claim to have stopped the flow. They claim to have stopped the flow of oil from that wellhead, and they're all happy. But yet, it turns out that they've been lying to us. You know, they're saying 5,000 barrels a day or something like that. It's actually like several million barrels worse than the Valdez spill when the drunken captain ran his ship aground. Give me a status.
I just asked if.
I
don't see the live sign up.
Yeah, okay. This is ridiculous. So are we still transmitting or not?
Say something.
Hello, how are you? We're still transmitting. But what about, can the people hear me? I'm asking you to type in there if the people can hear you still live.
Min Patriot can hear you.
Okay, I need everybody to give me a sound report.
Olima says I'm hearing a replay.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Waiting and waiting.
Want me to reset the broadcast?
Yeah, go ahead. Is Olima in there? That means she's recording it, so we can get it from her and upload it later. If we were in a rural, more of a suburban location, we just can't seem to get good internet here. And even though we're making...
Ricky Hill's commenting on the first hour.
He is?
Yeah, earlier on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, just are they saying they can hear me?
Warland says it's going again.
Okay, Warland. I'll do the show for Warland. It just, as long as I know Warland can hear me, I'm feeling good. Obama defends oil spill... handling. Okay, good. As long as Olima's getting it, I'm happy. As long as Olima and Warland, because Olima's recording it for us, so then we can rerun it.
We don't care about anyone else.
Yeah, we don't care about anyone else. I'm just kidding. You know that. I don't need anything but this thermos and this paddleball game and this chair. That's a tribute to Steve Martin's The Jerk. Okay, amid criticism increasing of the government's response to the Gulf oil spill, President Obama sought to push back against the perception that his administration had been asleep at the switch, insisting in an afternoon press conference, his first one in several months, by the way, that the spill that he had been on top of the spill the whole time. Well, of course he's been on top of the spill. They probably got North Korea to torpedo that thing, because you know what he needs to do? He's shutting down all of our offshore oil drilling now. He is going to drive gasoline back up to $5, $6, $7, $8 a gallon. Yeah. You've got all these people across his administration. What's his name? Rahm Emanuel saying we need to have the. He's a Nazi. That's right. We need to have the gas prices in America the same as European gas prices. They want to make it so that you'll finally give up on internal combustion engines, that you'll bow down to their alternative fuel god, and so they're going to stranglehold us. I mean, we got a little bit of a reprieve here. They lower gas prices, you know, across the nation, a few pennies here and there. It's still like 50 cents higher than it was last year at this time in California. This whole offshore oil drilling debacle was orchestrated. They wanted to destroy the economy down there. They wanted to manipulate the oil market because they're shutting down all of our offshore oil rigs, and they're going to forbid us. Remember, everybody's, oh, they're going to let us drill in Anwar. They're going to let us do all that. Obama, he's going to be nice. No. He's no friend. He may get a lot of money from them. He was in the pocket of British Petroleum. We know that. He'll get a nice, hefty insurance check, though. Watch. Did you know what British Petroleum did? They found an old maritime law that says that they're only liable for a few million dollars in these cases, not the billions and billions. And they're actually petitioning the court right now to uphold that old maritime law, so that protects them from huge payouts. They're consolidating all of the lawsuits under one class action. So by the time this is done, after the lawyers get their cuts, after British Petroleum hedges its bets, everybody's going to get like $1.50, per person as to what happened. And the lawyers are going to get filthy rich. The oil company's covered by insurance, probably Lloyd's of London. And they're all going to come out not smelling like crude oil on the beaches on the Gulf Coast, right? It's just going to be another example where the rich get richer and the poor get the picture. And the picture is not a nice one. It's a picture of a great big TURD, as Lou had me say. Tactical Urban Response Division. That's what's going on there. And if people don't see that, and I might be wrong on some of the specifics, but the general overall plan was they took out that oil rig so that they could manipulate America's mindset into going, oh, oil bad, oil bad. Oil is made by the earth, which is made by who? No, not Obama. It's made by
Obama.
Jesus Christ, the Lord. You know, and I feel bad for all the fishermen. I feel bad for all the little birdies in the estuaries that are dying. I mean, I watched a little bit of video on it. It looks like somebody's cesspool backed up. It's nasty. It's not black gold. It's more like brown chunks. You know, I don't know what kind of oil that they were doing there, but... And they wait, what is this, the fifth week to stop it? Why didn't they do this in the first place? I mean, it makes sense to me. You got a leaky pipe, fill it with something. You're in your basement, you got a pipe leaking, you grab a dowel and jab it in it. You do something, you stop the flow, and then you figure out later how you're going to repair it. But instead, it was just this theater performance. Oh, we're going to try this, we're going to try that. And then it turns out there were all kinds of bribes going every which way with the inspectors for the oil companies. This is going to be a nightmare. And, of course, they'll probably take executive privilege. Nobody in the White House will be subpoenaed or anything like that. And then on top of that, not to change the subject, but it's like every president we have breaks the law, period. Every president we have. I'm sure Jefferson may have done something. Washington probably didn't. Washington's probably the first and only honest president we had as far as adhering to the Constitution. But now it's turning out that Barack Obama asked a lot of his people not to run in some of these primaries across the nation, offering them jobs instead, like as Secretary of the Navy, you know, to be in charge of the guy who gets to rub the president's feet. And it's against the law. It's against voting and election campaign regulations. So it'll just be like Clinton. They'll impeach him and nothing will happen. You think Slick Willie was fun to watch? Wait till you see Barack on the stand going, well, you see, it's the definition of is not is. Everybody's sending me all the emails of, oh, look, Barack Obama's going to get evicted from the White House because he made promises. It's like I told the poor lady in church. They can go to court all they want. They can do impeach hearings. Congress can rally an indictment, but it won't make a decision until the guy's out of office. And they're all going to go, well, given the fact that we dragged our feet on this, let's just let bygones be bygones. Sharks don't eat other sharks. So to count, unless it's a really hungry great white, maybe a great white would. I don't know. Oh, am I being racist by saying great white?
Great black.
Yeah, so I say, I don't know, how would you say the not so great white? So I say great white, it's like all the other sharks are inferior. But you get my point.
Equal white.
Yeah. Sharks don't eat sharks. Rats stick together. I'm not going to look to Congress for doing anything or any committee that they put together to take this guy out. That's why I don't get that excited over the birth certificate issue. I'll have to bring it down. Just stop it if it's going to gurgle. We're having little digital problems. We changed the intro. We put in a fresh intro, and it was fine. So somehow that file got corrupted. So who knows? It's probably because you keep dropping food on the computer.
Oh.
Yeah, trying to put bologna in the DVD player and stuff like that. You got to stop doing that. He thinks if he puts a slice of bologna in the DVD player, he'll get to see the slaughterhouse.
I do.
I told him that's not true, but he keeps doing it. Now, in case you don't know, when you're not a longtime listener of the Dutch Jones radio program, I am against not just illegal immigration, I am against most immigration. Most of it. Now,
immigrants.
The reason I say that is because an estimated 12 million of the illegal aliens from south of the border that have come here on visas. Student visas, work visas, those types of things. And they stayed. They overstayed their visas. So that leaves about another 12 million that just crossed the border at will. So the problem is not just the fence and putting troops down there with guns, because that's the point I was trying to get. They can build a fence as high as they want, but human beings are going to come up with ways to get over, through, under, around. Without putting troops on the border with towers, with wire and dogs, and a brutal retaliation to anyone that tries to come over. I'm not saying shoot children that come across the border. I'm not saying landmines. But they get grabbed as soon as they come over, and they get thrown on an airplane. That airplane takes them to southern Mexico, and they dump them there. Let them go down there and find jobs. Now, the reason I am against most immigration, is that we've shipped our manufacturing base overseas, so we don't need anybody there for that. Our agricultural industries has been turned into corporations that rely on almost slave labor wages for these people, even though it still attracts the illegal aliens in. It's not fair, it's not nice, it's not kind. The phone's over there. Oh man, that phone puts off a lot of RF. Check that out. See who that is. But I have no problem with new people coming to this nation. We need an influx to handle the low birth rate that we have among your average suburban whites.
Yeah, they're over there right now. Bulldozing it.
Who's that? Is that? They're bulldozing? They're not bulldozing, Lou. They're putting on a. Don't tell them they're bulldozing the house. They'll come running home.
No, we haven't
seen that. So what? My point is that if you got rid of the 24 million illegal aliens, and 12 of them come over on visas, you could put Americans back to work. And if somebody wants to come to this country, they apply, they say, hey, I've got this skill, and we look at a list, do we need that skill, and we let them in. That's the kind of thing that other nations do. We're a nation of immigrants. Sure, when we didn't have enough people to run anything. We got enough people because the unemployment's over, and they're saying 12 to 14%. It's probably more like 20%. So unless you have a skill that this nation needs, you're coming from, okay, and I'll even let refugees in. If you're from a nation where you're being eaten alive by a junta and his soldiers, yeah, you can come here until we overthrow that junta. Then you go back and fix your own nation. And then, we aggressively pursue the people that come on visas and stay over, just like every other country does. I was deported from Venezuela because I was taking part in political rallies, and they have a very specific rule when you go down there. No foreigners can take part in any political activity, and I was deported. I knew the rules when I went in there, and it was a risk I took, and they kicked me out. I was trying to get Hugo Chavez not elected, not that there was anything better, but I didn't want to see a narco-terrorist get in there. So, I don't understand why, if I look at the United States as a lifeboat, we have to be very select who we let into the lifeboat. And I'm not saying a return to the days when we say, oh, no Chinese, no Indians, nothing like that. We have very small quotas to facilitate growth of our nation. Because we are a nation of many tribes, but one blood. That's another thing a lot of my listeners that are of the Nazi persuasion, which I don't know why they listen to me, and the what do we call them, the Christian identity people? I got to move the microphone a little bit. I believe that God made us all of one blood, and that there are different tribes and different cultural differences there. So no, I'm not saying shut down and only let white people in, so whoever is out there wants to take this out of context, you can go stick it in your eye. But it's ridiculous. We've given away everything that was great about this nation, and we take people in and take people in, and we've become a service-oriented business base. And I have no problem. If I have to, I'll go work at McDonald's because I know there's nothing around here that makes widgets anymore. But when you go into McDonald's around here, it's all Spanish-speaking grown-ups and some teens. They've taken away the jobs that are supposed to be entry-level jobs for America's youth. You want fries with that? Okay. I've been in Burger Kings here that everything's in Spanish. The menus, the sign over the soda machines, Everything's in Spanish. It's ridiculous, and it has to stop. So were I elected president, which I never would be because, you know, I don't think you can be an enemy of the state and actually – well, you have to become an enemy of the state after you get elected presidency to the president. Then you start tearing apart America. But if you're an enemy of the state before, I don't think they let you run. I think there's some ruling about that. I don't know what amendment that falls under.
You should grow a mustache.
Yeah. Grow a mustache.
So you can run. They won't know who you are.
Yeah, they won't know who I am if I have a goatee, I guess. Lou's saying go incognito to the White House. But the fence is a great idea. I think they need it. They need to put a lot of people on the fence. Observers, machine gun turrets, dogs, sensors, cameras, everything. The same kind of thing that they can do for Area 51, they need to do to our southern border and, to a certain extent, our northern border. I have not forgotten the evil Canadians. I lose a lot of sleep at night knowing that that border to our north is the largest unsecured border in the world for common practice.
Hey, Dutch, I would vote for you.
Who's that?
Warland.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, that's you and me. We got two votes. Luke's not allowed to vote yet. He's too young. But
well, I can stand on my tiptoes.
Stand on your tiptoes, yeah. You could put on the mustache and go vote. Yes, I'm here to vote.
Oh, yes, I'm here to vote.
I'm here to vote. And then you can do it. Come in with a bonnet on. Yes, I'm here to vote. You vote early and often, as they say in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and San Diego. So unless this nation is ready to attack 360 degrees, the question of immigration, not just illegal immigration, but all of it, this isn't going to fix itself. We can put up the biggest border we want down there, and they're still going to come through if we don't put people on it and make it a harsh penalty for coming through. I say we adopt Mexico's immigration laws. Google Mexico's immigration laws and read those things. They're pretty sound and pretty direct. You can't come into this country unless you've already got a sponsor, I would say. They used to do that. You can't come to this country unless you are bringing a business in. One of the problems is people always go, how come we have so many Arabs and Muslims here? Well, a lot of times, if you have cash in hand, you get into America. I know you don't believe me in that, but it's true. How do you think all the bin Ladens got here before 9/11? They bought their way in. And then you have the huge, huge industry of our higher education. Colleges love to take in foreign students who just bring cash. You know, I don't know if the whole village piles up and collects for 10 years and sends one person over, or if it's like all the Muslims, excuse me, like at Loma Linda Medical Center. They have a lot of Muslims there at Loma Linda Medical Center. It's a Seventh-day Adventist hospital and teaching college, or university. I think it's a university. And there was a ton of those people that overstayed their visas right after 9/11. There were all kinds of roundups. I lived like a mile from the university. We were always reading stuff in the paper about, you know, Ahmed got picked up, the dental student who only showed up to the first day of class and then left. They exploit our weaknesses. That's how terrorists and illegal aliens and, at the very least, people just stealing jobs from Americans. It's still thievery. I'm sorry. Good people don't come into a country and steal jobs from the locals. That's called occupation. That's called invasion. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. The federal government does have some duties it's supposed to fulfill. It works so hard at all the other ones, it doesn't do the basic ones it's designed to do. They're supposed to protect us from invasion, regulate interstate commerce, that kind of stuff. But meanwhile, you got Tyson Chicken on tape calling up a Mexican smuggler saying, yes, we need 250 more workers, please. What happened to Tyson? He got fined, slapped on the wrist. I used to sit outside the day, back when I was a little more naive than I even am today. Yeah. I would go to day labor sites with hidden cameras and videotape American contractors, you know, Billy Bob, Bucky Bob, and all those guys, you know, licensed contractors on the side of their vehicles. I would hidden camera. I had a camera in my tie and sit across the street and videotape them picking up illegal aliens from Home Depot, sponsored city, Southern California City day labor sites, turned it over to the DA, and they didn't want to do anything with this. This is a federal issue. So instead, I in a campaign, we started putting them online, published their pictures in the paper, and it embarrassed them. Then we said, well, that didn't even work, so we would just confront them. I'd stick a camera in their face while another camera was videotaping, saying, why are you violating the law? Why are you hiring non-Americans when there are Americans out of work? And embarrass them. But those of us that do that kind of thing, the Camp Amendment men still do it. There's so many other immigration group, anti-illegal immigration groups still do that kind of thing, but where has it gotten us? The numbers keep going higher. The media is hitting us harder than ever before about how we're racist. And the take Arizona out of it, no politician has done anything constructive in this nation. You know, God bless Arizona. If it becomes a nation, I'll move to Flagstaff. I love the mountains too much. I don't want to be in the desert. I do love the desert being there, but it's not someplace I want to live. It's just not a survival optimum environment. Unless you're like a Pima Indian or something and you can figure out how to live off a handful of cactus bulbs and dig for water. And I just don't have those kind of skills. So until – get music ready for the top of the hour and we switch over to Liberty Tree Radio, please. Until we deal 360 degrees, full court press, a complete battlefield attack stratagem, illegal immigration from the little worker wanting to save his family, you know, not trying to hurt anybody, all the way up to the terrorists that are going to sneak a nuclear detonating device in, to all the narco slavery, you know, trade in the middle, is going to just get worse. And as the federal government refuses to take any action on it, I can't believe we haven't had a revolution already just on this, at least among the Southwest states. They've done a really good job of pacifying us, haven't they? They've done a really good job of making anybody who stands on the borders with a pair of binoculars and the Border Patrol on speed dial to look like a nut, haven't they? We've lost the battle of public opinion. I mean, remember when it came out about 2 months ago? There was a Fox poll that said what problems are in order, or categorize the problems in America, and immigration was way at the bottom. Of course, everybody's like, the economy. People care about their pocketbooks more than they care about who's climbing into our country in the dark of night, which is stupid because they're directly linked. The economy stinks in part, in a large part, due to the fact that we let people come in here and take our money and ship it back home. Do you know that that's like the number two or number three form of income in Mexico, repatriated dollars from illegals working here in America? It's like right after oil and tourism. Sometimes it actually beats tourism. It's a little bit. It's something like $8 billion a year goes back to Mexico. So next time you hire an illegal alien to put a deck on the back of your house, you're killing America. And I know I've got good friends go over their house. Hey, who's that guy in the backyard digging around those fruit trees? Oh, I picked him up down at the hardware store. I come unglued. Why didn't you hire me and my son to do it? Why are you hiring this guy? I remember one time I was reaching out to a guy. He was a fallen pastor. He had a drug and alcohol problem. Got kicked out of his house, out of his church. 5 minutes, thank you. And I told him he could move in with us because I had a big house. I used to be somebody. Used to have a 3,000 square foot house, 7 bedrooms, surround sound TV up and downstairs. That's a whole other story. That was back when I worked for the man, and I didn't know better at the time. And I let this guy move in with me. He shows up with a flatbed truck full of all of his belongings that his wife let him keep, and 2 illegal aliens. I said, nuh-uh, you're not using them in my house. I don't want them casing my house. It's sad. It's like, oh, yeah, we really hate this, but yet how many of us do that kind of thing? Americans have got to stop. You know, we've got to stop creating the bait for them. If the jobs dry up, they won't come here. And then we'll just have to deal with the drugs and the violence. And it'll be easier to discern who the druggies are when there aren't a bunch of farm workers coming across. I know in Campo, the farm workers is slowed to a trickle, and everybody else that comes across is a narco trespasser or terrorist or slave trader. So it's a little easier there. We got to let it dry up. And I don't believe the lie that we're shipping guns and money down there, you know, money for the drugs, and that's what's fueling it. No. I won't buy that. That's an oversimplification of the problem. It's like that old movie, Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. If you switch it around, if you ask them to build it, they will come. When one of my houses was being built back in the 90s, I used a VA loan. Nobody building my house spoke English, and I was just a tract house, nothing fancy. It was my first house. It was like 1,200 square feet, you know, 2 bedrooms. You know, it was my first real piece of American pie that I thought was going to last forever. And they were building rooms with no doorways, where the windows were supposed to be. They wouldn't do it, and I'd go in there and I'd yell at them. Everything. Finally, the builder, Centex Homes, told me I couldn't come around because I didn't technically own the house yet. You know what I mean? They didn't turn it over to us. I didn't understand that because I'm like, I've already processed the loan and everything. That's my house. And you get the, they were every night, and I didn't know this, one journeyman would come in. He was an American, a white guy with a beard, and he would fix all their mistakes. They tolerated the stupidity because it was cheap labor to get the frame up to begin with, and then they'd have to bring in one or two experts. And he told me that it used to be there'd be a crew of five Americans that could pump these houses out so fast and good quality, but that time is gone because they'd rather hire the illegal aliens. Immigration is a key to a lot of our problems. I would do nothing but an immigration show every day if I didn't think it would bore you folks, because that is what got me into the Patriot Movement the last 10 years, last 15 years. Before that, it was anger and everything. But my focal point is immigration. They're occupying this country, and it's not just Mexicans. It's foreigners from every country that come here illegally and disregard our laws, our cultures. The Bible tells us if you go somewhere and you're going to stay there, you adopt their ways. They don't do that anymore. They don't do that at all. They don't want to learn English. They don't want to adopt any parts of our culture. In fact, we reinforce them by letting like 30-year-old men date 15-year-old girls, and everybody looks the other way. You don't think that's happening? Go into the barrio. They busted a guy up here recently. It was a dowry, I guess, that the guy had to pay. Traded like a 14-year-old girl for some pigs and a case of beer. Go ahead, Lou. Go ahead and play the music, and we're going to come back after the top of the hour. I'm Dutch Jones, and we'll be right back for simulcasting on Liberty Tree Radio.
That sign out there, please tell me what's it say. We have to have subtitles in five languages these days. Now we don't ask too much to share this land of liberties, but if it's not too much to ask, could you please speak English? English is my language, it's the language of this land, and every sign that's posted here I should understand. Now I'll speak very clear for you, so there'll be no mistake. My family fought and died protecting freedoms in these states. Now we all welcome those who come, but when you reach our shores, folks, you should speak our language, not the one you spoke before. English is my language, it's the language of this land. And I believe an open door should be our policy. Before these opportunities, we'd simply ask you this. Hey, you're the one who chose to come, now choose to speak English. English is my language, it's the language of this land. And every sign that's posted here, I should understand. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. These United States. Now here's one thing I question and try to understand. Hey, why must I press 1 for English? When it's the language of this land. English is my language, it's the language of this land. And every sign that's posted here, I should understand. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. United States. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. And English is the language of these United States.
a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
The government is the problem.
Is the problem. An emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time
to touch Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings and welcome to the Dutch Jones radio program, coming to you live Monday through Friday at dutchjones.tk, and Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on the, what is it, Liberty Tree Radio. Yeah, libertytreeradio.4mg.com, and we are honored to be here. We try and share our Christian militant worldview. We kind of get the Christian spin on everything going on in the world that deals with the New World Order and all that kind of stuff. Been a lot of activity lately. Our chat room at U Broadcast is full. We're also on Upstream? What's it called?
Ustream.
I'm never going to get it right. I need to put these things down and paste them on the wall in big letters. That way I'll get them on Ustream. We're not running our video camera because Lou and I spent the day helping cut down this dead oak tree, and I look like somebody ran me over with an oak tree, a truck full of oak trees. So we don't have the video camera on in the room. But we had a good day. We had a good last hour talking about immigration and what my views are on it, my experience with it, and because there's a lot of stupid stuff going on in the news. You know, a lot of too little too late, 1,200 National Guardsmen on the border. Come on, give me a break. Yesterday I reported that the border was 3,000 miles long. It's not. It's 2,000. I slip of the tongue, and I wanted to make sure that I don't have people out there going, oh, it's 3,000 miles long. How'd they add it? Well, I count the ocean, the Gulf Coast, because except for the oil. The oil may keep them out. You know, there won't be a lot of boat people coming across. They get stuck in the oil, and they'll get terrible headaches and runny eyes. Did you hear about that? The people that are involved in the cleanup, there's going to be huge medical costs associated with this. I don't even know if it's psychosomatic or real.
Call it downstream. That's easy to remember.
You call it downstream, yeah. Somebody asked just before we went over the break, and asked what's going on with the Russian troops in San Diego. The people that I've spoken with haven't seen them out. They just know they're there. The vehicles are there. Inside, people on the base. Yes, but this wasn't internet access this time. This was the computer's interface with the internet. They just failed to work. I don't know if it was Firefox or what, but it took us offline. And I'm assuming that the more we do this, the better it's going to get, but it's not working that way. So I'll get on the phone with you broadcast tomorrow and ask what the problems are. We're just going to have to go through it. That's the perils of guerrilla radio, because that's what this is. This is guerrilla radio. Nothing's going to work perfectly, but it shows us that we have to be diligent and not give up. We won't give up. We keep trying until we can go live again. Are they hearing me? Okay, well, you need to find out. Ask them a question. If you can hear me, start posting in the chat room for Lou. I've completely taken...
Mom says she got slight live feed now.
Okay, what I've done is I've completely shut down my computer, taken it off the internet, so maybe it's a bandwidth issue. We are at about 93% of our bandwidth, and that's just... It's the way it happens, and we're going to keep doing the show. For the next several days, we're going to be down the hill, though. We're going to go down the hill, and we're going to transmit from there. There shouldn't be a problem because I got DSL lines, so we'll continue it. Well, I see it disrupts the whole show when this happens because I lose my train of thought and the things that we want to talk about and travel, you know, and just get jolted. But I'm not going to stop. Immigration. If they wanted to keep people out of the United States, they could do it. They keep people out of Area 51, don't they? And how many UFO types try to sneak in there every year and get caught a few feet inside the wire, but they're telling us they can't keep people from coming through our southern border? And like I said, it's got to be a 360-degree attack. We've got to go after everyone involved with illegal immigration, And when we deport them, we put them on airplanes and we fly them to South America. Take them to the southernmost tip of Mexico, if that's, you know, if you think I'm being mean. Take them to Chiapas and dump them there. This practice of putting them on buses, driving them, you know, an hour into the interior of Mexico and letting them out is ridiculous. They jump back in taxi cabs, take it to Mexican Highway 2 here in California. That's what borders our border. And the taxi cabs drop them off and they come across. That's if they're not using coyotes. Another thing that they've been doing lately is they're using teenagers to deliver them. The pickup vehicles are stolen vans driven by 15, 16, 17-year-olds. Hello, Stacy. What's up?
I'm just tired.
Yeah, I'm tired and dizzy today, too. I don't know what it is. Hey, speaking of that, Stacy's wearing my U.S. Border Patrol t-shirt. But we've got to stop being Mr. Nice Country with these folks. And I know that that's not going to happen as long as we have the system that we have in office.
Mikey Hill wants you to repeat this troop status again.
The troop status again? We just know that they're there. The official excuse is that they're here for joint training at the Desert Warfare Training Center in Fort Irwin and doing some joint stuff with the Marines at 29 Palms.
Sure, now, Vietnam soldiers are going to come and
now, these are not verifiable sit reps because they're from people that I don't know that have sent me emails. Our militia contacts in San Diego, they went to train in Idaho for the week. Probably a good week to be out of there, I guess. You know, and so and they're out of contact. They didn't even know about it till I called them last night and said, "Hey, what's with all the Ruskies running around in your neck of the woods?" They're like, "What? There's no Ruskies up here in Idaho." I said, "You're in Idaho?" They went, "Yeah, we're in Idaho." So that's what happened there. So anyone in San Diego, I want pictures. Don't just send me emails. If they're keeping them on base, there's going to be a convoy. They unloaded a bunch of vehicles, reports said. So they're going to go up they'll be going up the 15 freeway heading out to the desert. Whether they're going to 29 Palms, they may go across secondary roads to get to the 29 Palms Marine Corps base. But odds are they're going to the International Desert Training Warfare Desert Warfare Training, so I can't remember how they do it, out there north of Yermo, north of Barstow, California. I have had some unsubstantiated reports of people saying there's been a bunch of Canadians, too, Canadian troops. It's a UN deal. Groups of Canadians, groups of Russians. We'll probably see some British, maybe some European troops.
Vietnamese.
I don't think there'll be any Vietnamese, Lou. I don't think there'll be any Vietnamese, Lou. But they're geared up. I mean, this thing that's going on in Korea is going to be a UN issue. Maybe that's what it's all about. Maybe it's not coincidence. Maybe it's come on in, sit down, sit in the recliner, take a nap. If you start to snore, I'll throw stuff at you. That way nobody will hear it. I'll just like wad up a piece of paper and go, "Hey, no snoring." Don't get mad. That's what you do to me. You stab me when I snore. I still have the bandages on.
You do it to yourself.
Do I stab myself? That's kind of weird. Don't come in here all grumpy. We're having a good show. So, that's on that. But back to the illegal immigration thing, which is what I wanted to talk about today. It's my favorite subject, having been a Minuteman on the border. And any militia listening to this, I challenge you to contact some Minuteman group on the border. I don't care if you're in Wisconsin, Minnesota, or whatever. You know, I know you've got a border up there, but the action's down here on the southern border. Take your vacation down south. Spend a weekend or two down here with the people that are on the border. I can think of no better training for your militia group. Contact different groups. There's of course the Campo Minutemen link on our website. You can contact the Border Patrol Auxiliary. They're not as open as the Campo Minutemen are, and I'm not saying because they're stodgy or anything, but they just do a lot of training and. And they're trying to be recognized by the Border Patrol, of course, with a name like that. So you can contact them. They have a website. I can't remember which one it is, but Google it, the Border Patrol Auxiliary. What are you smiling about, Lou?
PennDOT.
What do you say?
Bethag said, "Bye, and God bless your heart." And PennDOT said, "Bye from the retarded cop."
Oh, yeah, he knows about the retarded policeman. Bye. YouTube. YouTube has captivated us all, hasn't it? Maybe we should make some retarded Border Patrol videos, you know. Nah, I have nothing against the Border Patrol themselves. They're doing a thankless job that is just miserable down there. What time? How much? What time is it now, Lou?
6:27.
Okay, get ready for the half hour break. Yeah, we're still going to do a break. I got to hug my wife. She came home and she looks miserable, so I got to find out why. But if we could get rid of 90% of immigration in this country, then there would be jobs available for everyone. They're saying that about 12 million of the illegal aliens in America just overstayed their visas. What's unemployment now? How many people are unemployed? Now, granted, working at McDonald's or at the Home Depot or something, but it still isn't ideal for an economy, but it's still a job. And corporations hire illegal aliens every day, and they just turn the other, you know, the other way because they've got illegal documents. They don't go in there and just go, what's the – trabajo, you know. That's what I used to get when I worked at a place. These Mexicans come up to the fence, trabajo, they're looking for work. Well, now with the InstaCheck system, they have fake documents. They have everything they need to do the minimum so that the liability is not with the employer, and they don't care. Down in L.A., in certain parks you can go into, you just make it obvious you're looking for a phony ID, depending on how much you're willing to spend, how good of an ID you're going to get. That's what matters, is how much you're willing to spend to get a good ID. And for years, the federal government's just turned the other cheek. My Social Security number had another guy using it for years, and they never told me about it until I went in to do some paperwork. And they said, hey, we show that you worked at a packing house in Idaho. And I said, I've never been there, which was strange to me. And they said, oh, yeah. And I go, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to pursue this? No. Don't worry about it. I said, well, do I get all of his credits? No. So that's why the government doesn't care about phony Social Security numbers, because they just absorb that money. It's free money for them. It's not going to go to my account. You know, it won't be around when I hit 62 or whatever the age is. I'll never benefit from this. But it's constant. I remember as an employer, people would hire our private investigation firm to do background checks on their people. It was just cheaper for them to do it through us. We had like a flat fee. And people would come back with two or three Social Security numbers. It would be illegal aliens. We'd report them. We'd report them to – then it was called, you know, immigration, La Migra, and nothing was ever done. When we get to 30, just start playing the music real quick. Okay, play the music. We're going to be back after this break, and hopefully we'll still be up. We won't let them take us off the air.
It's coming down. It's coming down. New world orders, training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at I know a man who lives way up in Idaho, whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down. It's all around. The new world order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless law there flex its long mean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some got what they deserve. It's coming down. It's in your town. The new world order's
troopers dressed in black and blue. I bet their leaders think they're fooling me and you. Foreign troops, they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither and coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order's training army's on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious
government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
Help me have a house without a gun. Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order.
Attention! Is an emergency! Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
that! Zeroes!
Radio Blue!
And now for something completely different.
Hello, Liberty Tree Radio listeners and you broadcast listeners. We apologize for the dropout, but technology isn't perfect. We just don't make good things anymore in America. I don't know if that's the solution or if we're under attack. Either way, that's just the way it goes. I'm Dutch Jones, and this is the final half hour of the Dutch Jones radio program for May 27th, 2010, with a couple holes right in the middle there in our last half hour. What?
Let's blame China.
We'll blame China for this. It's probably Lou's fault. He left the tortillas out without closing them again. So when we go to have tacos and there's crispy Frisbees instead of tortillas, you don't get to eat.
Do you like them crisp?
I do not like them crisp. I don't like my soft taco shells. I like my soft taco shells soft and my hard taco shells hard and not in between. That's the way it is.
How do I make a hard taco shell soft?
By cooking it in oil. You just burn your little self. You'd burn your little mittens there, your little paws. Yeah, his little paws would get burned.
They're not little, they're as big as your hands.
Yeah, I know, and they're scary looking. What are you going to be, a flamenco guitarist there? What's with the nails? Honey, you want to get some clear nail polish for our little boy here?
Green.
Yeah, we can paint him green.
Hey.
Why don't you chew your fingernails like every other American who's stressed out? Clip those things, man.
Because chewing is disgusting.
Yeah, especially what's underneath the fingernails. What's under those fingernails?
Dirt.
Yeah, that's good. Every little boy should have dirt under their fingernails. I have no problem with that. Well, we were talking about illegal immigration. Today in Santa Barbara, there was another protest march against Arizona's wonderfully in-depth and inspiring anti-illegal immigrant law. And there were 9 arrests. One was a college professor from, I think it was San Diego State or something. They're from all over. But 9 protesters, about 300 of them showed up. They're out there trying to tell Arizona what they need to do with their own state. What arrogance. What utter arrogance is bred in our institutions across America. In our higher learning, so-called higher learning. It's lower learning.
Green, ready for Halloween.
Yeah. They need to be thankful they're in a nation where they can protest and just, you know, I have no problem with people protesting. For me, I don't I don't get involved in it because I don't want to be in a concentrated area when they decide to do the roundups. And then for the enemy to do it, I like it when they do it because then it gives us a chance to go down there and focus on who they are. I did go to the Day Without a Mexican once with some Minuteman folks in L.A. and saw how these, you know, they said there were 500,000 of them. There could have been 250,000 in downtown L.A. But how they conduct themselves when they get in a group. They're savages. They're brutal. They're violent. They're criminal. They're ugly. They're smelly. Then, you know, so are Americans, but when we get angry. But we're going to see protests all over the place because Arizona did the right thing. And those of us that are going, hey, I'd love to move there, we need to stand up and make sure that gets heard. We need to write letters to the editor of newspapers. Remember, I said act locally. And go, oh, your newspaper's going out of its way to vilify Arizona. But what have they done that's illegal? Talk to them about the 10th Amendment. Talk about Article 4, Section 4. That the federal government's job is to protect this nation from invasion, and when they don't do it, it falls to the states. We cannot let Arizona be hung out to dry because they finally had the ovaries in this case. They got a female governor. Can I say ovaries on the radio? I don't know if that violates any agreement, but she had the ovaries to we know we're on radio. We had that person tell us that he's broadcasting us in upstate New York.
He said you're on 4 months too again today.
Yeah, cool. Cool, great. Anybody wants to retransmit me, go ahead. We need to be praising Arizona. And when they – I love how in Los Angeles, Villa Argosa, bless you, dear, and the all but one, I think, of the county board of supervisors from Los Angeles County who said it was stupid, you know, opted to boycott Arizona, and then Arizona answered with, okay, we'll turn off 25% of your power that we control. A bunch of citizens went out in front of the City Hall and said, you know, Villa Argosa, shut up, mind your own business, because they didn't want to get their power turned off. I'm telling you, they turn off power in L.A., especially at nighttime. People die. So these loudmouth Southern California cities should be careful of what they say, because it's not just L.A. that gets power from Arizona. We have a blackout in California, any major city, and the illegals and the gangsters and the criminal element of all races are going to come out and just take advantage of it. It'll give you a little taste of what it's going to look like when the end of the world comes. You know, not the end of the world, but the end of America comes. Teotihuacan. I can never say it right. Teotihuacan. Yeah, if I say it too fast, it sounds like I'm talking about taffy or something.
Teotihuacan.
Yeah, Teotihuacan flavored taffy. But all of this that's happening, all of this immigration stuff that I'm focusing on today, I think even the stuff that we don't like is a good thing because it leads us down that path closer to the disruption of this unrighteous government and one day closer to the rebuilding. Last night during Bible study, we were talking about America's providential history. But before we get into that, for about 10 minutes, we do an open prayer. People can pray. People can put stuff out there. And several of us prayed for the country. And I prayed, Lord, if it is your will to restore this nation and have a revival, then so be it. Just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. However, if you want to break this nation up and let us rebuild a new godly nation, smaller, streamlined, and better, then so be it. So this illegal immigration stuff, the way we deal with it, decides how it's going to go when the shooting starts. Because you cannot tell me that this isn't... The amount of illegal aliens in this nation that own guns, that think they're training with them, that are being encouraged by the educational elite to be violent against America. If you don't know that, you have no idea what's really going on out there. It's astronomical. I've infiltrated leftist institutions of higher learning in my adult life just to see what it would be like. I've gone to their rallies for La Raza, Mecha, Aztlan, Reconquista, and I can act like a Birkenstock wearing hippie just as easily as I can do the Mexican accent. And they'll, you know, I even brought cameras and had them talk on camera about what they want. They want to seize all the private land back. They want to give it to Mexican farmers. Yeah. And then if you ask them, say, well, why don't you just clean up Mexico? They get all violent. I've had protesters from these groups, Mecha, and I can't even think of all the names anymore, come down on the border when I was down there with the Campo Minutemen. You know, their megaphones and their spray paint. They throw rocks at us, and we throw rocks back, except I used a wrist rocket. You know what those are, the slingshots? I was shooting the rocks they threw. I picked them up and threw them right back with my wrist rocket. That makes them run. They would instigate trying to get us to shoot them.
What happened to our wrist rocket?
They're stashed. Wrist rockets are stashed.
No, what happened to ours? That we have?
I just said that. They're stashed. You don't get to play with them anymore because you left them outside. And the rubber will break down. The surgical tubing will break down. You didn't appreciate it, so I stashed it. But back on the subject here, they violently hate us. There is a vitriol in their rhetoric. There, you watch them speak. It's almost like little Hitlers up there, except they're speaking Spanish instead of, you know, German. They want to destroy us and kick us off this chunk of the continent. Now, even if they had a legitimate right to do that, I think we had a manifest destiny to occupy this land and take it and utilize it as Americans. We beat them in a war. We paid them for the land. And we have subsidized them like an ex-wife for over 300 years. Not 300 years. What did I say 300 years? I was thinking about first contact with Mexico. There is no la raza. There is no race. There is nothing. It is only an economic tool of the New World Order, and they don't even realize that. Because when the final hammer is dropped on civilizations across America by the New World Order, when they finally had enough and they decide they want to get us back to 500 million worldwide, it doesn't matter that they were fighting on their side. They're going to destroy them just as quickly as they can. As they're going to try to destroy us. I have no sympathy for them. And when that day comes, I probably won't want to align with any of those groups because they're pathetic. Every Hispanic rights organization is really a Marxist organization. When I've taken the time to sit down and I act neutral to talk to them, they are all Marxists at their core. They don't just wear those Che Guevara shirts because they think the guy looks cool or they think it's a Planet of the Apes shirt. That's what my daughter thought it was, Anthea. She goes, why is that guy wearing a T-shirt with a guy from the Planet of the Apes on it? I go, that's Che Guevara, honey. Yeah, I didn't. She's too young to be educated in that. Yeah. No, he's not from Planet of the Apes. He kind of does look like it, doesn't he? Yeah, I thought it was funny when she said that.
See a picture of him when he was younger. He didn't have the goatee.
Yeah, he didn't have the goatee. All those South American, Central American Marxist guerrillas all wanted to look like Fidel. I don't know which one came first. There's probably somebody that Fidel Castro got it from. But they're going to come in here, and first, they're already waging war on us through violence. Again, today, in the paper, here in the Fresno area, Central Valley, California, bodies dumped, homicides, illegal aliens killing grandmas because they were drunk driving on a Sunday afternoon, killed a 60-plus-year-old lady last Sunday. Yeah, they caught the guy because the car was total. The husband, the grandpa, is, you know, he's out of the hospital, but he's critically injured. And now his lifelong wife is, you know, is dead because some illegal alien decided to sip down a few 40s on a Sunday afternoon. And he was an illegal alien. And you know what will happen? He'll be convicted, you know, vehicular manslaughter, all that. And they'll probably send him to Mexico to serve a term. And his family will bribe the prison down there, and he'll get out in a couple of years.
And then he'll come back.
And then he'll come back, as Stacy says, from the recliner across the room.
And
he'll probably do the same thing. But yet, had they pulled him over before he was drunk and discovered he was an illegal alien, they would have done nothing to him anyway. I bet if we took the time to pursue these DUI cases that are occurring up here with illegal aliens, they've had contact with law enforcement before, but because they're illegal aliens, they just, oh, never mind. They impound the vehicles. I have no doubt they do that. I give that at least because they're doing that because it's a monetary up for them. Because the guy's not going to come back to get his car, and they're selling him at auction or smashing him for scrap metal, but the law enforcement in the area, they do take the vehicles away from the illegal aliens. They're doing these rolling checkpoints up here, supposedly for DUI and for gang members with guns. They'll arrest three or four gang members, four or five DUIs, and over 40 illegal aliens will lose their vehicles when you look at the raw numbers. And they're just letting them walk. You know, they're citing them for driving without a driver's license, but they're never going to show up. And usually the names they give – and on the driver's, you know, on the driver's license, on the information they give, how do they know it's that person? They don't even take time to fingerprint them anymore. I worked in the jail in San Bernardino. It's like pulling teeth to get immigrations to come and get them, so they just let them go. This guy had four names one time.
I thought that was illegal to do.
It is illegal, but they just let them walk. Because it's not the authority of the county sheriff to deal with.
If
Yeah, if I had three driver's licenses or no driver's license and two Social Security cards, they would hold me until they could figure out through DNA and fingerprinting who I was. But it's catch and release for illegal aliens. And they come here and they say, oh, we're second class, third class citizens. You treat us like garbage. No, you're super citizens. You come to this country, you get on welfare, you get on Social Security, and you still work for cash. Do you realize that an illegal alien coming to this nation has to work one quarter? That's 4 months, right? Is it 3 months? And then they qualify for Social Security benefits if they're injured? And they know that. They teach them that in Mexico. Get up there, work for like a year, slip and fall, get state disability compensation. I saw it when I worked as a workers' comp investigator for a private investigator's office. I'd pick up those cases all the time. And then after a year of state, then they get to apply for federal disability payments from your Social Security that you paid in that won't be there when you get there. I followed a guy that still lived in Mexico and was getting Social Security benefits for an injury he had at a dairy. He slipped and fell. He did his year of state funds. He was getting $500 every 2 weeks for sitting on his butt. And he realized that he could live like a king with $1,000 a month in Mexico. So he would drive up here just to get the check from his post office box to Southern California. And I never went into Mexico, but you know where he would go next after he got it? He'd go to the OTB, off-track betting, or he'd go to one of the many casinos in Southern California. And I never really knew how much money he spent, but he would gamble that money that this nation gave him. I reported it. Don't know what happened to it. I never had to testify in court, so I don't know if they caught him and cut it off. What? I never get to find out the disposition on 90% of the cases I worked.
He probably still gets it.
I had another case. Was a nurse. She slipped and fell. She was on state disability, workers' compensation. And they wanted me to go up to her. It was Northern California. Paid a ton of money to send me up there to check it out. Turns out there were three female individuals all using the same work visa. So I didn't know, and they all looked alike. Now, I'm not making a racist statement here. They were all, they were a mother and a daughter and a sister. And the mother didn't look much older than the daughters. And I went to interview them, you know, and we didn't know who was who. They were all living in the same house, working at the same nursing home as nurses' assistants. One of them was collecting Social Security for her back, and the other two were using her identity to work. I investigated that case for 3 weeks, and I don't think she was ever charged. All I do is write my reports and pass them up the chain. It's almost like our governments are afraid to, this looks bad. We're going after a family of immigrants. I'd find illegal El Salvadorians. You know what they claim? That if they go back to their country, they'll be killed because of what happened in El Salvador in the 80s. And I'm like, doing the math, I'm like, you were 6 years old in the 80s, mister. You're telling me you were a guerrilla fighter? No, well, my family was. I cannot bring up one workers' comp fraud case that I reported on where the illegal alien was deported, at least to my knowledge. To my knowledge, they never deported them, even though they were stealing money from our state. And meanwhile, there are truly injured people out there that can't get on state disability because there's not enough money right now. California's going bankrupt.
I'm looking out one right now.
I don't need to go on disability anymore. I can go pick up wood. You know, several hours of helping somebody chop down a tree got us a cord of wood. That's how I roll.
You just learned what a cord is today.
Yeah, I just learned what a cord of wood was today. So I didn't know. I mean, where I came from, just get a truckload of wood, son. Okay, Paul. My dad never said, go get a cord of wood, 4 feet by 4 feet by 8 feet. Fill up as much wood as you can put in the truck until the springs start to go, help! That was it. So, we got, $160, $180 worth of wood for two or 3 hours work, right? You got to double it because there were two of us working. And people say, well, what do you need wood for? Well, in the winter, it gets mighty cold here, even in Central California. Plus, it's good oak wood. We can cook on it. So I guess I'm an illegal worker because there was no tax there, right? And they're more likely to come after me for doing that, going, hey, barter doesn't work. You can't barter. How are we supposed to tax barter? Here, here's a third of my cord of wood. I'll put it in an envelope and ship it to the IRS. But yet they will ruthlessly come after us that don't dot every I and cross every T on our tax forms, or if you're like me, haven't filed taxes in now 6 years. They will come after us and squish us like a bug. They will lay siege to our property, just exhausting thousands upon thousands of dollars, like they did the Browns, in overtime and resources. But yet they will not deport, what are they, let's say 24 million illegal aliens, 12 overstayers and 12 million invaders. There's no funds for that. And yet these people every day steal jobs from Americans, send FRNs, well, I guess they get converted to pesos through the Walmart wiring system. Did you know that Washington Mutual, it's not around anymore, I don't think. I think they got absorbed in the big Obama bank thing. But I was using Washington Mutual, and if you were sending money to Mexico, there was no fee. If you had a bank account there and you were, you know, a Mexican infiltrator and you cashed your check, you know, from your illegal contracting job from your boss who didn't care that he was hiring illegals, and you'd say, oh, I want to send $200 to Mexico. They go, oh, Mexico, that's free. If I went up there and said, I want to send $200 to my brother in Colorado, I go, oh, there's a 5% fee for that. They cater to them. You don't think so? They cater to them. But yet every one of these people, these businesses complain that they're here, but yet they're helping them. They're creating the bait to bring them here. It's like, and people are going to get mad at this, it's like complaining that you have cockroaches in your apartment, but yet you leave birthday cake and bacon rinds all over the place all day long. I don't know. Bacon's just something that seems disgusting to me. And then you go, I don't know why I have cockroaches. It's time to clean house, people. Back in, during Eisenhower's time, Operation Wetback, 1.2 to about 2 million illegals were sent. And I love it. They could call it Operation Wetback and nobody started crying foul. Call it Operation Wetback today and look at the lawsuits fly from Operation. The ACLU and the ADL and Operation what? No, we can't call it that. It's one of those times that I just wish Lou didn't have a microphone. He has to say that. Well, yesterday we said we keep our grain in a granary and our beans in a beanery. Nobody commented on that being a racial slur. I like beans. I love Mexican food. There's some positive things about American culture, just like there are positive things about most cultures. I've yet to find a completely defiled culture, you know, Ninevites or something like that, that can't turn around and bring themselves to the table. I got 5 minutes. Thanks. But dang it, this is a sinking lifeboat. There are holes in our lifeboat. We're out of the rations. We're running low on water. Seawater's pumping in through holes, and we're pumping it out with a hand crank and a bucket, and everybody wants to jump in this lifeboat, and we have to let them? What is wrong with this scenario? If you were in a lifeboat with your wife and loved ones, your children, maybe your in-laws in a big old lifeboat, and you're out to sea and suddenly you saw just swarms of individuals swimming towards you, and you knew that if they got near that lifeboat, they were going to capsize it in their frenzy to tip it over, and you had a shotgun, what would you do? Would you let them tip over that lifeboat and destroy all of your stored up survival supplies that you had? Would you let your parents and your children and your wife drown in the melee that's going to ensue? Or would you start dropping a few of them in the water so the others would turn and flee from you? I know that sounds drastic. 20 years ago, I might say, oh, you throw a rope over, let them put it around them, and you'll tow them into shore. Not anymore. We can't do that anymore. Our nation is just too fragile now. And yet that's what's going on. They see America as a giant lifeboat. You've got you know, your big stored oatmeal cookie, U.S. Coast Guard approved long storage food. You've got your canisters of water. You've got your desalination pump. You've got your life vest. You've got some cover. You've got some really good sunscreen. And here comes the horde. The boat sank. You and your family were wise. You had your lifeboat ready. You pulled the cord and it inflated. You're ready to go, and here comes the horde. Why should it be any different as a nation or cities? And how can we not make the obvious decision? You know, maybe you give some verbal commands. No, do not come any closer to the boat. There isn't enough for all of us. You will kill my family if you try to come in here. Remember the parable of the bridesmaids and the oil? How many of these Americans even have not listened to the warnings? Much less Mexico. They've destroyed their lifeboat. Because that doesn't even make that a better analogy. They had a bigger lifeboat. And they destroyed it. They used up their resources. They ignored others, and through violence, they fought and clawed at each other. And now they're done. There's nothing left in their lifeboat, so they're coming after yours. And they're going to do the same thing to yours, those that get in. I don't even want to mention what they're going to do to your family, to your loved ones, to your women. But yet we're seeing the same exact thing played out in reality in our nation today. At 2 minutes, go ahead and start the music, but real low. Folks, I'm not here to complain without giving options and possibilities for reaction. Today's show, I wanted it to be on illegal immigration just because that was big in the news today. You got El Presidente Calderon screaming and complaining that it's all our fault here in America for having such a nice life. That's like blaming the homeowner for a home takeover robbery because it has the house looks good. And you're living a good life in the structure. They're calling us right-wing. I'll control the audio. We are not wrong. We are not bad people here in America. We should not feel guilty for living in the greatest country that this earth has ever seen. It's like we're little children in the whole world saying, you got to share. You got to share. You got to share with all these people. No, you don't. Private property ownership, the right to possess your home and to be the king of your castle, go all the way back to the Bible, Magna Carta, the Mayflower Compact. And now we're told we got to give it away? We got to let these criminals, every one of them is a criminal because they're coming in here illegally, and we're supposed to share it with them even though it's to the detriment of our own families and lives? How much time I got? I'm Dutch Jones. I defend my family as a father and a husband, and I will not share what I have with illegal invaders. I won't even share my stuff with the unprepared, with the sheep. I tell you every day, hopefully, that we need sheepdogs, not sheep. We don't need lone wolves. We need sheepdogs. And we don't need a bunch of rats coming into our lifeboat, scurrying across the desert, coming here to see what they can take from us, and then demanding that we adopt their culture, their language, and that we accommodate their grotesque taboos that have maintained for hundreds of years from their Mayan and Aztec ancestors. And that the minute we stand up against it, we get hit with that what? The racist label? We're not racists. We're patriots. We're Americans. God chose this nation. God chose us to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That includes our own government and the scourge of infiltrators and invaders that our government welcomes in every day and does nothing to stop them. Well, as we wind down this show, I'm sorry for the dropouts. We're going to continue to do the show probably tomorrow night from a better internet. It'll probably be better. But I'm Dutch Jones. Go to DutchJones.tk. 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 Help us out, folks. We need some financial blessing. Go to the chip in. $5, $5, $10. If everybody just chips in $5 that listens a month, we can cover some stuff. Because we can't keep giving $200, $300, $400 a month to keep this thing going. It hurts too much. And it's taking stuff out of my lifeboat. So if you enjoy the message, if you believe in the cause, remember, help us out. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. But he asks us to stand in the gap. God bless you all, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Through our faith in God, who we still trust, America was born. But freedom lost is forever gone. Our founding fathers warned. Oh, they're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV. 'Cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing patriots who claim to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemies number one. guess now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Guess now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one.